This IBA podcast examines Europe and its institutions. The United Kingdom's referendum on its membership of the European Union has prompted considerable debate on the role of Europe's institutions. It has also brought into sharp focus the human rights protections provided by the EU. Discussing Europe's institutional system are José Manuel Barroso, past President of the European Commission, Sir Nicolas Bratzer, former President of the European Court of Human Rights, and José María Aznar, past President of the Spanish Government.
José Manuel Barroso, President of the European Commission between 2004 and 2014.
The conventional wisdom today, the stereotypes, sometimes the cliché views of about Europe are of the decadence, of decline, the reversible decline of Europe, and I really don't believe this is going to happen. 28 democracies take time to take decisions. Decisions are not so quick as markets decide. But at the end, by incremental procedures, we were able to show what I believe is the remarkable resilience of the European system. I can tell you the difficulties and the shortcomings of the European construction, what still remains to be done. But I also know by experience that at the end, we are able to find solutions, because what is at stake from an economic point of view, integration in Europe, but also political commitment, is much more important than those difficulties. The goal for European integration is peace, to avoid in this continent the same kind of wars that we had in the past, that were not only European wars, but indeed world wars that were the most devastating in the history of mankind. And that's why I believe we should cherish what we have achieved during all these years, and at the same time we should give a contribution to an order, a global order, based precisely on these principles that we believe are important: the human dignity, the human rights, the rule of law. In Europe, we have been developing, not perfectly, but the idea that things do not stop at our border, that we need to have transnational or supranational cooperation, that certainly we may love our country, and we love our countries, and we are patriots, but also we have an obligation towards others. Typically, an organization that is enlarging is not declining. So the euro is and will remain a very strong, stable, and credible currency. In fact, it's the second currency in the world, and it was established after the dollar, and it was established in a very short period, so very recently. And I have no doubts about it. And that's the point that many analysts have underestimated, I think. They have underestimated the level of economic integration in the European Union and political commitment. I think we need to go forward for the euro area in terms of more integration mechanisms, some elements of a fiscal union, some elements of mutualization of responsibility. Excessive regulation in some sectors, it's not good. So what is the appropriate level of regulation? That's a very important issue, and that's why we need for the legal profession, in my opinion and based on my experience now, a much more transnational or even supranational thinking, because it's quite clear that, for instance, in Europe, that you cannot solve the problem only inside your borders. You have to do it at least in European level, but sometimes also in a global level.
It's my great pleasure today to be with Nicolas Bratzer, who for 14 years served on the European Court of Human Rights, his last year as president. You know, why should a European court have more authority and credibility than the highest domestic courts?
It doesn't have more authority or credibility, but nevertheless, it was a body which was set up in part, of course, by the United Kingdom, who played a very important part in the creation of the convention system, a body which had the ultimate authority to in applying and enforcing convention rights. Now, that doesn't mean that it is more credible or less credible than national courts. As has frequently been said and has been emphasized in the Brighton Declaration, the primary responsibility lies on national authorities to guarantee convention rights within their particular forum. And of course, national authorities, in particular national courts, play a very important part in doing this. And if they do it, and if they effectively implement the rights at national level, then there is very little for the Strasbourg court to do.
How far does the margin or appreciation go in ameliorating different interpretations of many human rights in countries subject to the jurisdiction of the ECHR? And does the court not in any event, in some cases, violate the sovereignty of member states?
In deciding questions of necessity and proportionality, the court has given a leeway to states, realizing that member states do face different problems, acknowledging the fact also that that the state itself is closer to its people than to what is necessary, and consequently should have a margin in determining what is necessary and in determining whether it's proportionate, but with the ultimate power of supervision on the part of the Strasbourg court. Do we interfere with the sovereignty of the country concerned? To some extent, of course, yes, but that was the way the system has set up. It was set up in a way that whether it be a parliament, whether it be a court, whether it be a part of the executive, they are all subject to the convention and all can violate the terms of the convention. And it's for the court, the Strasbourg court, to determine whether they have or haven't. I don't see that as an interference with sovereignty. That's the power that was given to us by democratic governments, and it's a power which we exercise. The United Kingdom has been one of the strong supporters of the court over the years. It's been a very important part of the convention system. It was, in fact, the first state to ratify the convention in 1953. It played a very major part in the drafting of the convention initially.
What would be the consequences for the system of the ECHR if the UK were to leave the convention?
I think it would do untold damage to the convention system because it would send the very clear message, not just to old democracies, but to the newer democracies who have relied on the support given by the older member states. It will give the impression that it is actually no longer necessary to have a convention system. It's no longer necessary to have the system that was set up of having a court, an international court with overriding powers to determine whether there has or has not been a convention. It sends completely the wrong message to my mind.
Jose Maria Aznar is a lawyer and politician who served as president of the government of Spain from 1996 to 2004.
The first obligation of the responsibility for the European Union is for any countries to have a security borders. Don't forget that in the history of Europe, in the history of different parts of Europe, we are living three problems that reemerge today. One is nationalism, other is populism, and other is borders. We must establish serious decisions to establish a security in our borders, in our common policy. And this is the responsibility of the current leaders of the European Union. I believe in that the history of the European Union is a history of a very great success. We must put our efforts in reinforce the institutional system of the European Union, finish the construction of the Eurozone. I define the idea of the European Union based in the national states of the European Union. The populism is very dangerous. The history of Europe is the history of nations of Europe. The history of Europe is the history of Germans, of Spaniards, of French, of British. But we are capable to put together our sovereignties and to confront populism is very, 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 very important. And the European Union is a guarantee to confront populism if you take the decision that the European Union is working for the future.